Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
A young boy. One day, my grandfather phoned me and invited me to come. I was visiting the town where he lived, and I came, and he went with me in his garden and showed me, when you were born, we planted this tree. It was a small tree. Maybe, well, I remember it was something as high as I was, but I don't remember how high I was. Maybe this high as a little boy. And then he said to me, I'm giving you now this tree, and it's your tree. You will have to take care of it. If you don't take care of it, no one else will do. It will dry, and there will be no flowers, and also no fruits. Will you take this responsibility? And as enthusiastic as I was, I said yes. And it was not very difficult to take care of the tree, because it rained a lot in the town where he was, but in the summer I sometimes had to come with a hose and water it. And I remember one summer it was dry, and I was by that time young, maybe 16 years or so, and I had moved to the town where my grandfather lived, Hamburg, and here there was a phone, my parents who took the phone said, you better come quickly to grandfather, he's very angry at you. I didn't know what it was about. I had all kinds of ideas, but I didn't really know it. I came, and when I arrived, he didn't say anything, but he went with me into the garden. And there was my tree, and it was withering away because it had been dry, and I had not remembered to put water on it. And he said, I gave this tree to you. It's your tree of life, but you have forgotten to water it. I'm so disappointed with you. And then he said, I gave this tree to make a point. The point is, you need to take care of what you have been given. You are responsible for it. And I forgot all about it until maybe 1 year ago. I went back to that garden. My grandfather has died by now, but the tree is still there. It's very strong. It has very good apples, and it's my tree. My tree of life. And at that time I had already found in the scriptures so many references to the tree of life, and I had given seminars all over the world about it, but I remembered this particular incident on the hot summer when I had forgotten to take care of what I had been given. I'm using this as an introduction today. It just struck my mind as I was seeing all of you to remind you to please take also care of what Krishna has given to you. A little while ago, I was very... I visited my parents, and I became just very grateful to them. They are now 90 plus years old, and they could die any year. And for the first time I said in my life, I'm so grateful to you that you have given me this human form of life and this education. Where would I have been if you would not have raised me and given me a body and a chance in life? This is a great gift, this human form of life. It is said Krishna was dissatisfied after he had created the other species of life. Only then, after this dissatisfaction, he sat down one more time and created the human body with the human endowments. Body, the mind, which can expand very far and distinguish between what is good and what is not good for the ultimate benefit. Only when he had created this super chance for self-realization, this human form of life, was he satisfied. Because after all, he has created this world for us, this renegade souls. Is that an American word? Renegade souls. Yeah. Revolutionists with a wrong cause. we have this human form of life now to make good of this and develop our best. So the scriptures, in order to make clear what is this human form of life, give the example that it's a tree and it can give you fruits. And yesterday we discussed a tree has four dimensions: the roots, the trunk, and the bark. This makes two, and the crown. The same way we as human beings have four dimensions to our humanness. Our soul, let's start there, is the start, the basis. Our body, our mind, and our ability to interact with other human beings in a way that is meaningful and that is enriching and empowering to them as well as to us. These, the social dimension, these are four dimensions which we need to take care of. Now, we are devotees of Krishna, and we know why Krishna has given this human form of body. There is a purpose to it. It's not just there. The body is not just there to satisfy the senses. The mind is not just there to think about many different things. Relationships are not just there to have friends. Everything is there for a purpose, a reason, a goal, and that is self-realization. So a person who takes care of these four areas, body, soul, body, mind, and his relationships, in Krishna consciousness is very different from a person who takes care of this in material consciousness. In Krishna consciousness, everything changes because the basis is a different one. And if you forget the basis, the purpose, then the tree of life is just a material concept, and it is not empowering us. But the moment we add the purpose of the human form of life to it, and we see it with this perspective, it becomes a super tool for all-around well-being. That's very important for me to say in the beginning. So yesterday, we explained a little bit about the roots, and we did a little exercise by which we could understand a little bit our spiritual roots. Who has done this homework at the home? Yes, about 10%. I calculated like this. Well, I know you very well. I'm proud of you. The inconsequential Hare Krishnas, we are called. But good that some of you tried. By the way, it was more than 10%. I wanted to get a little bit on the case of those who are always hearing lectures but never acting. We have here in Hillsbury, I'm proud to say, 25%, that's a quarter of the audience who hears and applies what they hear. That's a great percentage. I feel extremely flattered. The idea was that you need to every day connect with yourself as a spiritual soul. That means you have to come back to the point that I am a soul. I am a part, a parcel of, second point, of my only master, of Krishna. And the reason why I'm here in this world is to realize this wonderful relationship. You are an angel with wings. Thank you. Thank you very much. Please try to do this every day. I am a soul. I am not the body. Then, I am part of God. And then, my only purpose while I'm here and while I'm doing anything is to step and enter into my relationship with Him. This is a very simple meditation, and it is the beginning states of Krishna consciousness. It's the middle state of Krishna consciousness. It is also the end state of Krishna consciousness. When you start with this, you will just have a vague feeling, I'm not the body. But when you are advanced, you will understand, as a soul, I have a particular personality. I have a particular identity. My service to Krishna is such and such. It will, in other words, just like a tree which grows from a seed, the understanding, spiritual understanding, can expand from this basis. We discussed a little about the roots. In the what is the duty of roots for a tree? Well, first of all, it has to absorb water and nutrients from the earth. And then it gives, the root gives these water and these nutrients to the tree trunk and the crown of the tree. So if you start your life with root work, if you do the roots of the tree of life, what does this mean? It means that every day you absorb new nutrition, something which spiritually nourishes you and energizes you. Have you done such a practice today, my dear devotees? You have to ask yourself, have I done something? The moment you ask this question, have I been spiritually nourished today, you have to look at the quality of your sadhana. Was it just a mechanic, dutiful execution of spiritual practices, or were you actually able to contact Krishna and nourish yourself? This question you have to ask yourself every day. To take care of the roots means you need to do the same what the roots do of a tree. That is to absorb water and nutrition. That means spiritual nourishment you have to do. The second duty of a tree, which I thought of, is it anchors the whole tree. You know, when the roots are weak or ill, the tree can easily fall if there is a storm or a strong wind and so on. Only when the tree has good roots is he centered. In the same way, a devotee who wants to do responsible taking care of the roots of his spiritual life must find a practice by which he becomes achala, that means immovable, nicely centered. What happened? God has appeared. Hare Krishna. This is wonderful. Thank you. Pujariji, you are our real friend. You have drawn the veil between us and the Lord and opened it. Thank you. So, this is root work, means spiritual sadhana, means you center yourself so that you can remain fixed despite the different storms and winds. The best place to be fixed is that you understand, I am simply a servant. Throughout the day, you need to center yourself in this understanding. I am the servant of the Vaishnavas and the servant of Krishna. Then you are anchored. But the moment you become externally minded and take on a very, material understanding based on your ego, I'm this, I'm that, I'm a big manager, or I'm this or that, then the storms will come and blow you. Your ego will get a blow. To anchor yourself means to fix yourself up in the Jivera Svarupaya and Nidhyera Krishna Das. The eternal identity of the soul is to be a servant of Krishna. No matter what comes, come hail or flood or whatever, or bad disease or rumors in the internet about you, whatever, if you remain anchored and fixed in the understanding, I'm just a servant, I'm a spiritual soul, a servant, I'm anyways not this ego position, you are strong whatever happens. Then the third root is the third function of the root is called in English vegetative reproduction. Do you know what this means? Even if there's something wrong with the tree, if the roots are all right, they can repair whatever is wrong with the tree. So, in the same way, when you have done your spiritual root work very nicely, then even if in your service something does not work, maybe you have to redefine yourself in service, or maybe your relationships need a serious boost, and so on. If you are spiritually strong, not theoretically strong, but practically strong, you will get inspiration in times of need. This is how important it is to do spiritual root work every day. It will help you to absorb spiritual nourishment and give it to the rest of your life. It will anchor you in a spiritual understanding, and it will help you to generate such inspirations that even in the time of challenge, you will go strong through it, my dear devotees. These three points help you also to check a little bit on your spiritual practice. I think there is a great benefit in doing regular spiritual sadhana, because even if you don't feel like it, you will do it. But like anything done in this world, it has also another side to it. When you do something regularly, that means all over, every day again, your mind switches off. It goes on the mechanic automatic pilot, you say in American English. Learning your language. And you don't do it consciously any longer. And it does not nourish you any longer. It becomes only an external presentation, but it does not touch your soul. So try to do root work and check. Am I spiritual nourished? Second, am I anchored? Am I centered? Or am I always getting paranoid when the winds of change blow? And second is, do I have inspiration and a vision for my life? This happens when you do properly your sadhana. I want to give you an example, a stunning example of devotees who are spiritually strongly nourished. I came to know about it. And have you heard about the war in the Ukraine?
Ukraine.
Ukraine, thank you. Ukraine is the word. There is a conflict which is festering, do we say festering? It just cannot be stopped, and many devotee families were affected and had to leave their houses and go to other areas where there was no shell explosions and no, you know, really what human beings can do to each other is just incredible. I mean, neighbors turning against neighbors. I have disciples whose relatives, imagine, whose uncle were killed by some other uncles from them, because they were publicly executed in villages because they happened to be on this side and they didn't even know that they were on that side. Some political maneuvering. So there is this one village where it was really bad, neighbors turning against neighbors, slaughtering each other, and then airplanes bombing. But there were these devotees who had left the temple in that village. Village is not the right word. Small town. A township. Small township. But they noticed when they had fled that the temple is not taken care of. So many good people came there as their only shelter. So do you know what they did? They returned from safety and went to the war zone. And what they do there is they mostly chant. They read the Bhagavatam together. They enlighten each other. They take full shelter. And they say, our Krishna consciousness is so vibrant, so energetic. So we are the most happy people in the world because they have strong root work. They are not these lazy people in the comfort countries, you know, who just add some Krishna consciousness to their life. These people don't add Krishna consciousness. They live Krishna consciousness as their only life. That's a total different approach to it. And they feel so much bliss because they are nourished so nice. Their mind doesn't give problems. Their bodies don't suffer from overweight. It's much easier for them. And when I heard this, you know, I was just ashamed. I'm a swami. I'm getting so well fed. You should see what I have eaten today. It was more than you eat in a week. I felt I'm so much in the comfort zone. I should also do some austerity like these. Because you're more happy if you take good care of the roots. You're nourished. You're strong. Gaurav, really? Really, Gaurav? So, this is about the roots of the tree of life. As I said yesterday, we look, when we look at the tree of life, we always have to start with the roots, and because we want to deal with it with the spiritual perspective. Now we will move a little up. What is the next stage? The trunk, Srila. Thank you. The trunk of the tree of life. What is the function of a trunk?
Hold the tree.
Sorry?
Hold the tree.
Hold the tree, yes. Give stability to the tree. And hold the tree in its position. So the body also takes this position in our life. Prabhupada wrote, and I need to say this to you because it's stunning. Without the help of the body, one cannot follow any system of religion, nor can one speculate on philosophical perfection. You need the body. In Tehran, he once told to the devotees, don't neglect body. You need it. Just like the tree needs to be strong to give fruits, we need to take care of the body so that the fruits of self-realization can come. You are extremely kind in this temple. Thank you. Thank you so much. Just offered, isn't it? Wonderful. The body should not be neglected as material. One who does neglect it is false in his renunciation. If the body is not properly maintained, it falls down and dries up like an uprooted tree from which flowers and fruit can no longer be obtained. Therefore, the body should be properly cared for. Yes, very, very nice. Not nice, very, very normal. Prabhupada gives a very easy to understand point here. Because we need it for stability. When you have a functioning body, it gives you more focus on chanting. You won't constantly fall asleep. You will have more energy for your seva. You will dance longer in kirtan. You will serve Krishna, and you will not think your service is like a burden for you. You will see, oh, I can do it. What are the three things which we learn in the tree of life which takes care of a healthy body? There are only three things. This is coming from Ayurveda. The Ayurveda gives us a tree pot of health, just like this extremely photogenic camera is standing on three legs. Health requires three legs to stand on. The first is diet. Diet means the food intake. I remember Srila Prabhupada when he came to Germany, he was had a little cold. He came from France, and then he went and stayed with us for one entire week. No, 2 weeks even. He stayed with two weeks, as far as I can remember. Or it was an eternity in my remembrance. And I was sometimes carrying the prasadam to him. And I noted the preparations changed, and then I was informed that Prabhupada gave explicit instructions each day. He wanted to eat this, and he wanted it to be spiced like that, because then his health would be taken care of nicely. So maybe when you're young, you can eat sugar in big bags of sugar. But when you are becoming older, then this is white poison for you, and you must be a little careful about it. Diet. I think we shouldn't over exaggerate. It just means to find out what is good and what creates indigestions and problems. Then you must have a healthy sleep. Devotees, this is the second leg. Healthy sleep, that means enough sleep and peaceful sleep. It helps you, for instance, to air your room out. It helps you to smear some sesame seed oil on your soles of the feet, then you can sleep. Or it helps you to make a little rigorous exercises, then you can just go very deep in your sleep before you do it. Other things. I feel a little shy in a temple to talk about how to sleep very nicely. I could say you could just observe a boring Bhagavatam class. But I'm saying this in jest. I'm not serious with it. The third thing which will help you to be healthy is a lifestyle. Lifestyle means exercises or walking in Krishna consciousness. Best is you dance really, and not just polite swaying back and forth, but really dance. That is the exercise we are always encouraged in the old style, in the old school. I personally believe in this very much. That means also celibacy, or being moderate when you are in a Grihastha ashram. It means certain lifestyle things which you can learn here. I want to introduce only one thing which is maybe new and interesting to you. It means energy management. There must be sometimes you must cease your work or your movement in order to recover more strength. This is a point which I feel is maybe most relevant for devotees. When you are always pushing yourself through, both physical and mentally, and you never come into the mode where you again restore energy, you will, in the name of service, deplete your energy so that you will do lesser and lesser and lesser service. Sattva means or balance. You regulate or balance between activity and rest. Rajas means you have an inner self-propelling motor which never gives you peace. And tamas appears after excessive rajas. This is the phase of exhaustion and strain. Krishna in the Gita tells us about this wise energy management. He says, he who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and work. You need recreation and work. Can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. I would like to make this a little clear by drawing a thing for you.
I will speak in without the microphone. Maybe you can. Actually, I can speak. One, two, three. Please give the microphone in my mouth.
Not in my mouth, then. I'm not such a good drawer, please use your active imagination now.
Yes,
I can do this for you. Maybe you stand here, then it's easier. Yes. So, my dear devotees, when you are rajasic and make an effort, maybe I should do it in red. This is the worker in Raja. Let us call him Raja Prabhu or Raja Mata. Here comes Raja Mata. All this effort, pushing. After some time, they will have to go here, down, into what we would call exhaustion or distress. Have you seen these Raja Prabhu and Raja Mata? Pushing themselves and others, and as a result, after some time, where's Raja Prabhu? Where's Raja Mata? They have totally fallen down into the exhaustion, and they are they even leave sometimes. Let us now take Tama Prabhu or Tama Mata. They relax. Don't push themselves. We went to the Tree of Life seminar by Sachinanda Swami. We are not doing Raja Mata or Raja Prabhu. Now something, I have no money. Now I'm really distressed. And then the energy level goes up. I really have to do something. My life is foolish. And I come into the stress zone. Stress. That you always see Raja Mata and Raja Prabhu come into distress, and Tama Mata and Tama Prabhu come into stress. The sattvic worker, I'm sorry, I'm really little entangled here with my tools. What is yellow? Huh? Yellow. Give me yellow. Oh, green is good. Green. The sattva person does always oscillate. Do you understand this English word? He comes back and forth.
Oscillate.
Thank you. He does an effort. Strong effort. Then he understands, let me relax a little. But not too much. He doesn't want to go to Tama. Then he again makes an effort. Then again, he can sometimes make a super effort even here. No, that is exceptional effort things. He can really be a miracle man. But normally, he is always in between here. He knows when to recreate. He knows when to work. And he can work and serve unlimitedly because he is in sattva. This is sattva Prabhu or sattva Mata. And he is happy, all this. It's the balanced state. Thank you, Aditi. All right.
It's the balanced state of life. I admit it is sometimes difficult. Please take the pens. Here's another one. Yeah, thank you. It's, you know, you have a glass here, paper there, you have a microphone there, you have a garland here, and a small microphone there, getting a little bit bewildered. But from this table, really, it is really clear that what was that difficult word?
Oscillate.
Oscillate. Thank you. You are masters of your language. Could you understand the simple wisdom of this chant? What I have seen is when you learn how to relax, not by coming into tama, but by doing what is called recreation in the Bhagavad Gita, you will recharge your batteries very nicely, and you will get more energy. I need to say this to myself because I'm at the moment developing a life school, and there's so much to do, and I'm sometimes working up till 10 o'clock in the night and then starting early, and just before coming here I was pushing myself very much, but I noticed every day I was coming so much towards exhaustion that I really couldn't do anything. So that 1 week before coming to America, I understood, well, if I don't do anything now to catch myself, I will really come into a dangerous zone. So it is best you always move like this. And obviously there are sometimes situations where you dance in ecstasy for 24 hours, or where you distribute books for 1 week marathon or so on. You can do this sometimes. I made this, but only you can do it from Sarvagun. This is the wisdom of life. What is very good is for those who want to know how to recreate without going into tama, because this is sometimes what devotees do. They work, and then they sleep for a week, and then after a week they come up out of the bed and they wake up as an atheist in the morning. So this is very good to know how to recreate in a very nice way. This is an energy balance. I want to now close this session I will jump over emotional well-being. I know this is most interesting for Matajis. I know from I'm an international lecturer, trying to be, so I know. I will say, because, you know, if I say too much in one lecture, this emotional well-being, it's a delicate subject. It has a lot to do with proper relationships. A lot. Especially for us as devotees. And our Rupa Goswami has given us the 6 points of entering relationships with other devotees. Who of you know them? I think Sri Ram knows them. No? Yes. Receiving and exchanging gifts. You started with the receiving.
So Sri Ram wants gifts, in case you have not noticed this subtle inspiration. No, I'm joking.
Forgiving of my incompetence. Mother's mind also incompetence.
Yeah, I think really that is the most important amongst devotees to read. To have friendships or safe relationships where you can reveal your mind, also your confidential questions, even your doubts, even your unwellness with something, and receive inspirational, just inspirations, something. That is very important. I think we must learn in our movement to protect this very important aspect of emotional well-being, that is this confidential and safe environment for feeling, for discussions. And the best way to start is you must start in your own life to be a person who keeps confidential things confidential. Don't complain over others who put your confidential talk with them into the internet for the world to see. It's only a karmic reaction to what you have done in the past by not being confidential. Try to be confidential first. Start with yourself, with your circle of influence. And the last is giving prasada and receiving prasada. Hey Ram, you get the succession right. Yes. This is something I want to just say in passing, because you already know it, and I won't get into trouble if I would tell you the more delicate things about emotional balance. I have many thoughts about it and many things which I could talk about, but I won't be able to deal with it very good in this circumstance. I wanted to talk about the social dimension. And I wanted to reveal to you a miracle which happened to in my life. It was 3 years ago where I began to understand that if I want to move forward in my service as spreading Krishna consciousness and really reach many more people and impact them for a life, I need to learn something which I have not learned as of yet. And that is to be compassionate towards others and act from that level. Now, compassion is a word which we will hear in every fifth lecture in our movement. I would say the word daya, Sanskrit, is not always nicely translated with the word, English word, compassion. It doesn't really touch on what it means. Compassion can sometimes be a disguised form of aggression. When I do to you what I think you need, then I'm not compassionate. A real compassionate person needs to learn another skill, that is empathy. Empathy means I need to be able
to see the world and feel the world from your perspective. Mothers know this. When their little children scream, they have to first of all understand what is it which gives pain to the child. If the mother does not understand that and thinks and is just compassionate in the sense of doing what she thinks the child needs now, she might kill the child in the process. For instance, the child may need, let us say, I'm not so good, something to drink. The mother still smile about me. He doesn't know what he's talking about, but I'm trying. And you put dry cookies in the mouth because you interpret the screaming, he's hungry, he wants these good cookies with chocolate, which I like so much. Then it may be the wrong thing. You may have a good reason, a good, let me say, attitude, but you may be dangerous to your child. So a compassionate person needs to first of all find out, what does this person really need? Why is he in need? What is lacking? And he must give that thing and fulfill it. So you must practice to step into another person's life. You must understand their perspectives and their feelings. And you must then act for the benefit of the other based on that understanding. Step into the... That is what I found is the most difficult thing in the world. For instance, I had once a servant, whenever I would speak in his home language with him, the language, he would become very disturbed because he thought I would poke fun on him. And he would suffer miserably. I spoke to him in Serbian. I can't speak very well Serbian. And the servant felt I joke about him. I had to learn that whenever I speak to him in Serbian, he is disturbed with me. He doesn't appreciate me, but he thinks I'm an arrogant German, and so on. So I had to first learn this, to see from his perspective, and then act in a way which would benefit him. It's very important. I give a small detail from my own experience. In the same way, I have learned that sometimes my preaching is too forceful and upsets people and makes them miserable, and so on. I found that out once in Heidelberg. I gave a lecture to students about the failures of sexual attraction. And I talked about this and then really got down on them. And then they said at the end of Amara, well, all we can think about now is material desires. After your lecture, you didn't help us. So this empathy is so important. And for that, I have, because I'm a preacher, I need to learn this. I have learned to do on each Tuesday, the day of Narasimha Dev, a compassionate meditation, which I would like to do, would like to guide you in today. This compassion, Vaishnav compassion, is the, let us say, it is the desired cream of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is only a Vaishnava if he has daya, or this compassion. A good example is little Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, as you know, was in constant danger of his life because his father was so disturbed that he worshipped Krishna, that he did different things to try to kill his own son. Do you remember some of the atrocities of Hiranyakashipu?
Had elephant stomping.
He had elephant stomp Prahlad. He had poisonous snakes try to bite him. He threw him off the cliff. What you have not mentioned is in the Vishnu Purana, he then took a rock and threw it behind him so that he would stay on the ground of the ocean. He made every conceivable endeavor to assassinate his own child. Terrible. But Prahlad was such a Vaishnava, the best of all Vaishnavas, that he prayed at the end of for the benefit of his father and for the benefit of all living entities. This is his prayer.
Svasyastu Vishvasya Kala Prasidatam Dayantu Bhutani Shivam Mito Diya Amanasya Badram Vajata Tadokshaye Aveshyatam No Mati Apyai Tuki.
Let there be auspiciousness for the universe. May the wicked be pleased, not angry. May all beings together meditate intelligently on cooperation. May the mind become free of attachment, and may our minds, without motivation, be absorbed and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He prayed to the Lord, may all those who are in an inauspicious situation be in auspiciousness. May the wicked be pleased and not angry. May there be intelligent cooperation. I would like to guide you in such a compassionate meditation where you can yourself wish well to others. Emotional well-being is very much connected with social well-being, and it has a lot to do with being compassionate. It has a lot to do with taking care of others. In Krishna consciousness, the wrong type of development would be if we just think about ourselves, and that we are getting bhakti, that we make advancement, that we make that we are pleasing to the Lord. In the real Krishna consciousness, we have to step out of our own circle and do something for the benefit of others. Hare Krishna! Let us lovingly welcome our Vaisheshika Babu.
Krishna, Krishna. Our family business.
All right, good.
Sorry to interrupt.
Please.
Vaisheshika Prabhu, we are talking about compassion as a necessary qualification of being able to, let us say, as a character skill or a quality is the word, in order to be beneficial for others. So I want to guide the devotees into a meditation on compassion. You just came in before the meditation. You could not have come in a better moment, because I feel really honestly that through your personal example, you are breathing compassion by going out. You've gone out personally so much in book distribution, and I understand you still do it, but you guide many in the art of doing it. And, I'm a personal fan of this book, Our Family Business. It is so well written and so inspiring that I'm also a book distributor. I know this, but I have neglected the art a little bit. this is so gently and so, let us say, yeah, empowering, in the sense it gives us so much strength that the way you've written it so intelligently, you put different considerations into it, that it makes a lot of sense. So yes, I hope I will please you with this compassionate meditation, because it is very much, yeah, this is very much behind all preachers. They understand, if I'm not acting out of compassion, then I won't be able to do this for a long time. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, the main dharma for a Vaishnava in this world is compassion. I was surprised it comes in the Jiva Dharma. The main dharma for Vaishnava in this world is to practice compassion. There is a Sanskrit verse in the Garuda Purana that gives an ideal compassion meditation. It says, may sava bhavantu sukhinaha, may all living beings be happy. May they be free from disease. May all living entities see auspiciousness and good everywhere. And then final thing, may all of them be free from danger. This is how a Vaishnava feels for others. He actually really feels great compassion. There is a story which one of my Australian godbrothers told me. He was driving Srila Prabhupada home after a preaching engagement in Sydney, which went quite late. And they had to take the shorter road, which in order to save time, which went through King's Cross. King's Cross is, I do not know what street to compare it to in an American town. It's, you know, where the nightlife goes on, restaurants, gambling, and all kinds of night entertainments. People go with the night dress, and they are perfuming their sweat away, and they walk like this. So Prabhupada was driven through the King's Cross when he was brought back to rest in his house. And he was there, and he started. And the driver was looking back and saw Prabhupada was in his sober and great mood. But then Prabhupada started to cry as they were driving. I don't know, it doesn't take long, maybe. I, I also drove the day through King's Cross, maybe 5 minutes, then we have gone through the whole area. Prabhupada cried, and he cried afterwards. And then he looked at the driver. The driver thought, Prabhupada is... I don't know what he thought when Prabhupada is crying. He didn't also tell me, but Prabhupada said, these people don't know that by performing sinful activities they will suffer so greatly, and so this gives me so much pain to think about this. And he cried for out of compassion, really. So we as Vaishnavas, if we can be compassionate, my dear devotees, it will first of all enhance our ability to reach out to the people. But listen to this. This mood of compassion will wipe away all miseries which come out of self-centeredness. It's the first-class therapy for your own mental and emotional well-being. So I thought we can end this session with a little compassionate meditation. I will guide you into something. And then we will sing for a few minutes from this place. I will request my band to be ready again. And then I will request Vaisheshika Prabhu to kindly also address us here in this hall. You to sit comfortably, or with comfortably, I mean, in this exercise, please sit tall. It's alright when you are on a chair, it's good to even. And like yesterday, let us a little bit center ourselves. Do this by first of all looking around in the room so that we will feel perfectly safe or protected when we close our eyes in a little while. When you're ready, please take a few deep breaths. Expert, you stop before you take the next inhale, and then you inhale. Then you take a deep exhale, deeper again. If you wish, you can stop. While you breathe in and out a few times, kindly center yourself. Bring your minds from the many different things which you have thought of or which you are thinking of to the present moment. We sit together with Vaishnavas in the Lord's temple. It's a very good place to just be peaceful. say a few things. I will say a few things and you should be with these sentences. To the Lord that I am happy, or at least relatively happy. I am grateful that in my life there's peace and not war. Grateful that I am healthy, or at least relatively healthy in comparison to those who really suffer. I'm grateful that I can think of the welfare of others. Now, please think of some people you want to wish well in your life. Maybe someone who's close to you and who's not so healthy or happy, or needs support at this time in his life. You may also extend your circle of compassion to think of people who are not so close to you. If you want, you can even do like Prahlad Maharaj, who prays, may there be auspiciousness throughout the universe. May others be safe. May these others be happy. May they be at peace. May they be healthy. And may others also be able to see the good and to wish well for the people around them. It is from this place of compassion, of meaning well to others, that we will now turn to the Lord and ask the Lord, in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, may the wicked be pleased, not angry. Let there be auspiciousness for the universe. May all beings together meditate intelligently on cooperation. We turn to the Lord, chanting His holy name. I wanted to just give you in a few words of what I wanted to explain in the Tree of Life seminar. It is a gift to all of you. It is born from an own realization that I have seen I can do my service for Srila Prabhupada and Krishna better from the position where I take care of my roots, my spiritual roots daily, where I take care of the trunk of the tree of life, that is the body and the emotion, and where I also take care of the social dimension, the crown of the tree of life. All these four areas need to be visited and cultivated in the spirit of Yukta Vairagya. And this little word, Yukta Vairagya, is really the whole perspective which I wanted you to understand. If you take care only of the body and the mind from the wrong conception that you are the body and the mind, you will become unnecessarily attached and entangled in material life. But if you see that these are gifts which Krishna has given to you for his service and for your, let me say, for your big journey in life, that is the journey of self-realization and of God-realization, then you will do it in a right way. Just in parting, I want to give you four questions which you can do to make the root check. Every day, do the root check. Root check means, am I spiritually nourished by my practice? Very important. Have I done something to nourish me? That is, my inspiration and motivation to serve should be stronger. This is, you don't need to go to a garage, which you need to visit in the car, to check on your car. You can check on your tree of life with these on your own. Root check. Am I spiritually nourished by my practice? So that I'm strong to face the different things which I go through in my development of Krishna consciousness. Now comes the trunk check, means the body check. Have I learned my energy management so that I have good energy for serving Krishna? If not, you can just look into three areas where you might have to improve something. The first is your diet. The second is your regular and restful, your rest. And the third is lifestyle, you know, exercises, your honesty in life, moral abilities, and so on. That will help you to be healthy. Then now comes the emotional check. You can see, have I taken care of these six exchanges which Sri Ram has given us? You know, have you, for instance, today, Sri Ram, have you opened your heart to some good Vaishnava and listened and shared something confidential which enriched your emotional well-being? Or have you given gifts today, Sri Ram, or have you just received them? I hope you're not mad at me that I single you out. You will now be all over the world on the cameras. have I given prasad? If not, you have a chance this evening. Then we take prasadam. And most important, let me say, at the end, we had the tree of, let me say, the crown check you can do. Have I done something today compassionately to elevate someone? No? Or other people? Have I done something? Or if you have not yet done, the evening is still young, you can do something. Check your tree of life, like anyone who has to take care of a tree you have to check regularly and don't become desperate. Balance is a dynamic state. In other words, you always need to correct it. You will never be totally, completely, sattvically balanced, but you can move about this. I hope this is good, but please know this was just a teaser. The entire Tree of Life seminar takes place a minimum of 3 days, and now with the mercy of the American government, we have a 10 years visa. Applaud for Donald Trump. I do not know, so I cannot make it very well. But the point here is when you have an opportunity, or let me say, when you feel you need to learn this more so that it really comes into your system and you can do it automatically, watch out. There will be seminars soon in America on this, but there will be also very attractive. This is one type of seminar. Now we want to hear the real speaker. Now we want to turn to Vaisheshika Prabhu. I want to thank you very much for your kindness and listening. It must have been difficult to understand my German language with a little English accent. I cannot speak so good English, but let us now listen to Vaisheshika Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.